Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Teresa and America at In the Open.
We're going to be talking about how little things make us mad. I get mad at little things.
I get mad at little things. Pick your battle. Sometimes I get mad when people tell me to pick my battles.
So, Teresa, do you get mad at little things?
Do I get mad? I get mad at everything. Yes, the amount of stress I feel, I revert back to my bad self. I'm just going to call it labels, okay? Because this is what my internal voice says. But yeah, I spend a lot of time actually thinking about how I can get irritated at big or little things, and because it's gotten me in trouble.
Give me an example of a little thing that's gotten you in trouble. Well, you've gotten mad at that little thing that you've then gotten in trouble.
Do you have 50 hours? I don't know. You know when you're like super irritated, so your threshold for tolerance is already really high? Everything can be upsetting.
Yeah.
So like the most common issue that I struggle with, and before I spent a lot of time thinking about it, early on in a relationship, for example, I mean, people think about this all the time, like the way the toothpaste is squeezed out, the direction of the toilet paper, how someone folds the towels, whether someone has left a dirty dish on the counter. My husband likes to literally bite the cheese in the fridge, and I open it, and if I see that he has taken his teeth and put his teeth on the cheese, I am kind of irritated, but also grossed out. I can go on and on. These feel like little things.
And those are really good examples.
I have a million things that I do, okay, that I know irritate him. I put my shoes in the middle of the room. I lay papers in piles. He calls them my pile, paper piles. I'm a clutterer, you know? Messiness is like a huge thing in our relationship. The way someone clears their throat, I have a picking disorder. Every time I pick, I'm pretty sure it rises anxiety in my husband to watch me do it, because then he says, you're picking, or do you want to pick? And then I immediately react to that and I feel like I want to punch him or take a knife and pick at my face even more. It's horrible.
So those are very good examples. And I would
but now your turn.
I think the first like five things you said are on point. Anything that it like irks me. It and my body tenses up when I think about it, because like one of the things is messiness. I do not like messiness. I do not like when things are out of place. Everything has a place. I hate when people use toothpicks in front of me. Like, I hate it. It's like disgusting to me that you would do that in front of me. Like, go away. Please. Okay. I hate it. The other thing would be like in terms of like cleanliness, orderliness, this has happened many times. Like I'm looking for the remote. The remote should be in the living room, near the TV, near the couch. And then I'm like, where's the remote? It's like somewhere in our bedroom. I'm like, what's happening? Why? I don't understand. And he's like, I just walked in here with it. I'm like, they put it back.
We're married to each other. That's
me. How we are.
Why didn't you put the remote in the remote holder?
Oh, God. Like, yeah,
why do you have a remote holder? I believe in the philosophy of the remote holder. But if the one time, and it's not, it's like the 50th time that I left the remote, yeah, in the bathroom, it's like that's the one time he finds it. And I'm like, God, I got
no. caught. You know what else? Well, this is another thing that irks me. So you talked about the toilet paper. If there's no more toilet paper, you should change the roll, right? And so I've said that to my fiance, change the roll. And so what he does, okay, he puts in a new roll, but the old little cardboard thing, he just leaves right there. And I'm like, what the? Why? Why can't you just throw it away, put it in the recycling? It's literally one more step and you would have gotten it all correct, you know? And he'll be like, oh, it's not that big a deal. And I'm like, yeah, it's a big deal. And he's like, no, it's not such a little thing. So when we think about like this particular topic, what I go back to is one thing that when I went to therapy a long time ago, the therapist had said to me, why do these little things upset you? And I was like, just because they make me do more stuff. And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, because little things add up. And she was like, okay, tell me more, right? So like, I was like, I don't understand. What do you want from me? And she was like, I need you to tell me like the emotional way that you feel about these little things. I was like, it pisses me off. Because I now understand that when the little things add up, right? Like the 50th time that I've said to Teresa, Teresa, put the remote back where it belongs, it ends up being like, either you aren't listening to my request, you're not taking me into account, I have to end up cleaning up behind you. And that is like, that's where the little things become mountains to me.
Of course, it makes so much sense, you know, because the thing we want to feel is heard. And there's so many true things about what you're saying about like when little things become big things, because the compilation of all that stuff ultimately lands on, I feel this is really important to me and I'm trying to communicate to you over and over. This is very important to me. But what's happening is every time you don't follow through on that, I don't feel validated or heard or important. That's how my calm self would say it, right? So true. Not feeling heard, not feeling that things are important to you. The other person sees them as important.
Yeah, like I would even go and take it like right now we're talking about like, you know, your husband, my fiance, but take it a step further. Like when you break out and a little bit broader, your brother, your sister, your best friend, like let's say we're having a conversation and all the time it's like, oh, you know, I've done this. And then the person is like, oh, that happened to you. But oh, that happened to me like years ago. And then forget whatever the hell I was talking about. It goes into this other thing and I'm like, what? And so that's a learned behavior, right? That people engage in. And if you never say like, hey, I was talking, I was telling you something, then that reverberates across all of the relationships that we have.
And what you're talking about too, that's so important, is that the spectrum of little things can be big things. It's a skill to understand like, it's a skill to understand where something small is actually something big. One thing that resonates with me with what you said is if I get irritated or mad at something repeatedly, it starts to be a signal that something deeper is happening there that's important. And I have to cue in on that and dig deeper into why it's irritating. So yeah, talking to someone who, like an example, right? It's like you said, talking to someone who monopolizes or turns something back to them. Mm-hmm. Like that is irritating. And I could be like, oh, just let it go. Just be her friend or whatever. But the bigger problem is like, well, no, I don't feel like this relationship is equitable. Like she's not really being a friend. She's just taking a lot and a lot and a lot. And I don't feel like I have space here. Like, and that is a big thing when you have a conversation with people. And then do you ruminate about them?
Sometimes.
Like if you had a small failing and you're like, oh, I did a misstep, or I used to spend a lot of time feeling a lot of shame about why did I say that the way I did? Or like if somebody gives me a piece of criticism, it's like I can just derail for a week or two.
So is that a little thing though?
It can be. So an example, like if I mess up at work.
Okay.
What I feel like is a mess up at work.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I will just sit there and think about it for like weeks, but I'm pretty sure that my coworkers didn't even notice. Nobody is freaking thinking about it.
So then you're speaking about another little thing though, these little things. You're kind of framing it in a way where for you, it's a big thing. Like the way that you're interpreting it is a big thing. But for the rest of the world, it may have happened so quickly. It's not even anything that's like really hitting the radar and you're like ruminating about it. And you're the one that's feeling the impact of it. But everybody else has moved on.
Yeah. Catastrophizing, right? Like yeah. I know our anxiety brains do that. It's funny. There are like two ends of the coin about this topic. I get mad at little things or how to pick my battles. It's identifying whether your brain is making something bigger than it is and figuring out what matters or doesn't matter. But the other end of it too is the physiological space. And I don't know if you relate to this, but if I'm stressed out, I have a harder time not falling into the traps of making little things big things.
I am thinking about some situations where I have thought that little things really are like humongous.
Yeah.
And I talk to somebody else and they're like, it's not a big deal. And I'm like, what do you mean, dude? It could be misinterpreted this way or whatever. And it's like, no. So I'm trying to think of specific examples. Within like my home life, the little things that I'm talking about are where we're saying like, I don't feel like you're listening to me. You're not validating me as a person, my experience, one thing. And then when I extend that a little bit broader, like there's this thing that my brother has done forever. He, because I'm shorter and he's taller, my entire childhood was spent where he would lean on me with his elbow, okay? And whenever he did that, I would get so mad. And I'd be, get off, you know? And so this is into our adulthood, right? Where he will try to do that because he know it like irks me. And I'd be like, you need to stop or else I'm going to punch you, you know? And he was like, why does that upset you so much? And I was like, I don't know why, but it does. And so please don't do it. And he stopped, you know, he stopped doing it. Every once in a while, he'll do it because he gets a kick out of it and just see just how mad I get. But I'm like, that's a little thing that over time I've gotten over in little bits, little mm-hmm. bits. But I also think about like maybe there's a relationship thing like with my mom or my dad where I thought it was a little thing. Like sometimes my mom will come over, more so before COVID, where she'll come over and she'll be like, oh, you haven't cleaned. And I'm like, what? Of course I've cleaned. It's not up to your standards, but I've cleaned, right? And like for her, it's something that she's just mentioning. But for me, I see it as a far bigger thing.
Yeah.
And like those are the levels of things that happen. And then even work, when you talk about work and what you were saying specifically around like maybe like whatever I said is being like it's I'm blowing it out of proportion or whatever. There are little things at work that will upset us, like maybe the tone of an email, the way something is directed at us in a staff meeting or something. You're like, what? You know, and it makes you question, I think, how people see you and how people see your value, which I don't know if that's all connected.
I think it is. That's why the brain is so complicated. It's also and the way people see you, the way you see yourself. The things that you're sweating that feel like small stuff, I'm almost sure that the amount of anger that I feel and if it happens over and over and over is a sign for my brain. Like, that's what I think it means. Like, there's something deeper there and it ties to your expectation about the way you should be. That's tied to your culture, tied to your identity. Mm. The things that hurt. I think that a lot of elements of things that I get mad at over and over and over, the little things, underneath it is something related to something painful that I haven't quite resolved.
Is it different for you how you navigate that space at home and at work?
I don't think so. Early on, I had to do this trick and it helped a lot. Somebody was like, if you don't think you're going to care about it in 4 years or even remember what happened, like, can you just let it go? Use that as a benchmark. Because if something really is important and you're going to remember this 4 years from now, then okay. Think about it and think about how that matters. And I was all, damn. Okay. 4 years is a long time. Yeah. But doing that made me be like, oh, okay. I'm going to just let go of this stuff right now because I'm not going to remember this in 4 years. I won't even remember the name of the person or what I did. I probably won't even remember a month. I'll forget, you know? And that really helped. That was one layer.
Like that time frame kind of thinking.
That was like, yeah, the beginning of learning how to let things go.
It only resonates in this way for me, Teresa, that personality-wise, I'm a grudge holder. So like I remember stuff and I could be like, no, you said this. So I'm going to stick with what you said. And so I don't think that's the best thing, but I'm going to give you an example, okay? This is something that happened recently. I don't know if I told you this. So my fiance has this mug. Did I tell you about this mug?
Oh my gosh, you told me about the mug.
Yeah,
you clearly didn't forget that story.
No, this is never gonna be erased. So the mug exists, okay? I'm going to let people know. My fiance had an issue with me using this particular mug because I was supposedly damaging the mug. I wasn't damaging the mug, but whatever. We'll give that to him. He thinks I'm damaging the mug in some way. I'm like, all right, I'm never going to use your mug again. I was like, by the way, it's not just your mug, it's our mug, but whatever, right? So this mug now exists, still exists in our cupboard, but it is no longer used. And the other day he's like, you can use my mug. And I was like, nope, never touching that sucker again.
This is where sweating the small stuff runs up against being petty.
Yes, completely. Completely, right? And so he was like, and I think, you know, in Spanish, he said that, you know, like, you're just being petty about it. And I was like, no, I am proving a point. You have said something upsets you. My way to rectify it is by doing this. No longer addressing using this. And he was like, no, but that's not the best way to handle it, which could be very true. But my aspect, it was like, yeah, but I won't ever have to run into this particular situation ever again because I'm no longer using the mug.
So like my friend voice is thinking like, okay, what are America's values? She values words. Like words matter. If you let words release out of your mouth, if I'm America's friend, you better be true to your words and honor them.
Yes.
Don't be flippant about your words.
Yes.
And then I think you also care about not being blamed for something that you feel is unjust.
Yes. Yes. That's very good, Teresa. But you're right. Like I really do value, I know the impact that words can have on people because I've hurt people's feelings before, you know? So I really take time to think about it. And that doesn't mean that I don't hurt people's feelings, you know? Everybody does that. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to find a way so that we can come to some sort of agreement without like bursting into this, like, well, whatever, you know, we're just going to go get new mugs, you know? So that's just it's a petty, small thing example.
But it's such a really good example of how what feels like little things, and when people say, oh, just don't sweat the small stuff, it's a little dismissive because if you do the next layer of hard work, yes, some things you can just learn to let go of. But if you do the hard work, which I think is the next step, is you slow down, you ask yourself, why do I care about this? Which is what your therapist was trying to do. It's like, why does this matter to you? What is underneath this pain? What is there about why it matters to you? And it does tie to some pain, some expectation, some value system that we have that does matter. And that's where it's important. And if you'd never wrestle with that, you just fall into these traps over and over again where you think it's about the mug.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not about the mug.
Yeah. It's not the mug at all. It was the words that he used that said, this is mine. And I said that and I've clarified that to him, right? And I was like, this isn't yours. We live together. We have a family together. It's ours.
Oh, you know, that's like an extra layer.
Yeah. And you know, like I will dive and he's not at that place where like when we were talking about it, he was like, that's not what I was saying. I was like, that may not be, but that's what I heard. And this is not, you know, the one time thing. He will kind of do this. And so I'm like, you really have to reframe your thinking so that we align on that particular thing. There's not a you and you and me, you know, that kind
is,
of.
I hear this a lot from some people about like use of my mug, my mom. You're like our mom, not my mom.
Oh, I had a friend of mine years ago. I was talking to her about my brother, my mom. And we were talking, you know, something. I was like, yeah, my mom. And then my friend was like, do you guys have different mothers? And I was like, no, she's my mom. That's his same mom. He's like, why do you call her my mom? I was like, because she's my mom. Like, I couldn't get it, you know? And she was like, that's so weird. And I was like, is it? And I was like, what do you call your mom? She's like, mom. It's like, does everybody call her mom? I'm like, yeah. And it goes to, like, you know, the way that we're just brought up around these kinds of things.
I think it's a cultural transliteration thing too, you know? Yeah. I remember thinking with my Mexican friends specifically that when even my friends who were two siblings were talking to each other, they would speak to each other and be like, my mom.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, why do you guys keep – yeah, totally. But it says something too about two cultures clashing together in a pair, whether a friendship or a partnership, where there is a lot of stuff that you bring to the table from your past life. And, man, there's just nothing like two human beings human beings have pain, right? But two human beings coming together, this is where all our conflict about the small stuff is going to happen. It's with your partners. Mostly, I think, where it feels like a constant with your partner, you're going to have to wrestle more with whether the small stuff is big stuff, even though in our whole lives, there are always opportunities to wrestle with this. I've just felt like when you live with one person, that's like the universe's way of forcing you to wrestle with these little things. Yeah, all the time.
I think too, what ends up happening, like our friends and our, like the people that have some sort of importance, you know, for us, it could be like your friends, your coworkers, they push you into, I'm going to call them zones that you may not be familiar with. And then when you're put in that zone, it's kind of like, wait, why am I stressing about this X thing? Mm-hmm. Is it me or is it the other person? And those interactions push us to wrestle with questioning our beliefs, questioning our values. And if we really do the work, like you were saying, right, you start really understanding. It doesn't have to do with somebody taking your favorite pen off your desk. It doesn't have to do with somebody like eyeing you from the other table. It's just something that is tied to what the feeling is. And that's where the harder part is, and just like digging, you know, like you're literally digging through the layers to be like, okay, if it's the toothpaste, what's at the bottom? What's underneath the toothpaste? Oh, they never actually, you know, they don't listen. Why do you think they're not listening? You know, and like digging deeper.
And why does listening matter to you? Yeah. Why am I angry at this? Why does this bug me so much? Like, what is happening there?
You know, I was with my, I call them my kids, you know, like my niece and my nephews and my stepdaughter. My niece got upset about something. She was just mad. You could see it. She was mad. And I was like, babe, why are you so mad? She's like, because X thing happened, right? I don't even remember. Oh, I think it was her brother was messing with her. And I was like, okay, but why is that bothering you? He's like, he never listens. I'm like, okay. And you know, like you're doing the work with them right there at that moment. And I was like, babe, try to think why it's really making you mad. And then, you know, she was like, every time he does this, it's like he doesn't ever really like listen to what I asked him. I'm like, okay, fine. Even then, you know, she's like 8. And I was like, okay, let's think about how we can not be so mad about this thing. Because it's not a big deal, right? Like in the whole realm of everything. And her brother was doing it to just upset her. And I'm like, why? Why do you do that? And he was like, because it's funny. I'm like, oh my God. So it goes back to this idea, like we start learning these things early on. And if we don't address them, you know, and learn better skills of how to manage them, then they just build. And that's what we want to avoid.
And the thing about mental health and it's how much people have past trauma is that most of us don't have healthy models. Like the reason why I explode is because I grew up in models that it showed me that exploding was the appropriate response to little things. And boy, that's disastrous. So that, we're not going to be able to open up that can of worms, but I think you're right. I think the important part you're saying is like these things start early. So you have to be aware of them. It's okay if you're like, oh, well, I don't care about the cup on the table or whatever. I have to just let that go today. But over time, if you notice that your life is really derailed or you have specific conflict and it's important enough, then that's where you say little things are big things. And this is how we have learned to question our perspectives, our thoughts. All right. I think we're coming to a close. Do you have any final thoughts?
My final thought would be, I think in some ways, some of the things that we always say, right? Dig a little deeper. Try to understand what is leading you to have such strong emotions around this X little thing that's happening and determine how that plays out in your life.
Yeah. And my final thought is something that's in addition to everything we said, which is when I used to get mad at a lot of little things, I also had to learn how to apologize. Which is also very hard. But if you're going to sweat the small stuff and kind of blow them up and catastrophize like I did, I also had to learn how to apologize and be like, I'm sorry for lashing out at you. And all of that is part of a really painful journey, but it was really necessary for me to have good relationships.
That's a very important point, Teresa. All right, people, we're going to close on that. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one. Keep fighting in the open.